Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi everyone, and welcome to this week's Squiggly Career Podcast. I'm Sarah, one of the founders of Amazing If, and I'm joined by Helen.
Hello.
Welcome back from holiday, Helen.
Thank you very much, Sarah. I have had a lovely... It's very hot. It's not quite as hot as here, actually, but yes, a nice big family holiday on Prince Edward Island. Are you familiar with this place in Canada?
No.
It's something to do with Anne of Green Gables, I think. Right. There's a lot about her there. I think there's a book written about her. I haven't read it. It wasn't on my school reading list with Shakespeare, but there's a lot of Anne of Green Gables stuff. And potatoes. They produce about 30% of Canada's potatoes, would you believe?
fun fact.
Fun fact of the day.
And for those regular listeners amongst you, you will know a couple of weeks ago we did a podcast all about grits. Was it podcast number 36, did you say?
It was number 36. It was,
yeah. And in that podcast, we talked about how proud we were of doing a podcast every week and how important it was to us. Mm-hmm. And last week was going to be absolutely no exception. We'd recorded a podcast. It was all about getting you promoted. And then for some unexplained reason, it didn't work. And we don't have a backup. Helen was in Canada. So we, and because we'd made such a big point of this, you know, when you just like, this was fate. The fact that we were like, this is what happens when your ego gets too big. Basically, fate finds a way of like bringing you down a peg or two.
Knocking you down.
And I won't forget in a hurry, Helen in Canada trying to record a podcast with me over her phone with no Wi-Fi reception.
In a laundry room. And it was really hot.
At some point, us both just going, do you know what? We just can't do it. It's just not going to work. And you, I've never heard you sound so distraught.
Because I don't like things getting in my way. I will achieve the number one value. Well, one of them anyway, but I will achieve through most hurdles. And particularly when technology is a barrier to achievement, I'm just like, can't I just build some more Wi-Fi? Give me some wires. But yeah, we were defeated.
I think at one point you did say to me, I just can't live without Wi-Fi anymore. Which did make me laugh. Yeah. So you had a proper break from Wi-Fi because you were forced into it. And it does just show, even in the grittiest of moments, what we learned from that is have a backup plan, of which we had none. So apologies for last week. We took a slightly unintended break, it has to be said. But we're back this week, hopefully with two podcasts, both out on Tuesday. So we're going to go back to our original topic, all about five ways to kind of help you get promoted. And Helen, perhaps you just want to talk a little bit about promotions in the context of Squiggly Careers, because I think you might think, well, you know, we talk all about this podcast is here to help you develop the skills you need to succeed in a squiggly career. In that squiggly career, maybe promotions are not as important or not as relevant. What do you think?
I think they're still very relevant. So I just think there are more options than there were before. So we in Amazing If, we often talk about that careers used to be quite staircase-like, quite linear, quite predictable. And promotion was definitely a feature of the staircase. You were on a path and you were going to go up that path and in a quite a predictable manner. Whereas squiggly careers may have promotions, they might have sideways move, you might be changing industries, there's a lot more change, but promotion is still a feature. And actually, if I think about a lot of the questions that you and I get asked, Sarah, it is about my next move, how do I set myself up for success, I think I want to do that thing, but I don't know what my gaps are. So we get a lot of questions around promotion. I think we are always really keen, though, for people to realise that's not the only route. So if you're kind of being a bit blinkered and maybe a bit sort of staircase-like and you're thinking that my career is all about progression, you might be missing out on some opportunities. So we definitely if we were coaching you one-to-one, we'd be talking to you about what some other possibilities that you could explore would be. But one of those possibilities will always be some form of a promotion. And that means that you can progress. It means that you can get some achievement. It means that you can sometimes have a bigger impact on other people. So still very important. It's just one of a mixture of things that your career will entail. So we would never want people just to think promotion is the only way to have a happy career.
No, but I do think, you know, for lots of people we talk to, promotions are really important and they're really hard. You know, I think particularly today we're probably focusing on internal promotions slightly more than leaving your company to get promoted through, you know, going into a new role. Though some of the advice will definitely hold true in either scenario. But, you know, we've both been in big organisations where, you know, it's hard to get promoted because I think people often think of you in one way and then you're, you know, you're desperately trying to kind of move up and demonstrate things that are beyond your current role. So I think it's something that at some point most of us experience because people do want to progress. You want to learn new skills, you want new experiences, and that does mean, you know, moving upwards in some way, shape or form. So what we're going to do in the next 20-25 minutes is go through five top tips from basically our personal experience, things that we think have just worked really well to help us get promoted. So Helen, do you want to kick us off?
I will happily do that. So number one is to get some form of internal sponsor for you. And this is someone that will basically advocate for you about you when you're not in the room. And so when those, ideally, almost before you even know about a promotion, they are talking about your suitability for it. Actually, in Microsoft, we have something called Slates, where you would look up your next role. It's also succession planning, basically. It's a Microsoft word for succession planning. And you would have a slate, and then you might have a sponsor for you that would be advocating you for your next role. Now, big company, big formal processes for promotions. So, but I think the even if you're in a smaller company, you can still use some of those kind of processes. So how you would do it if you are in control of this yourself, you would be looking for somebody in the organisation who is a supporter of you. It is likely to be someone more senior than you, to be honest. If you're talking promotions, that might be a level above you, it might be a level above that. When I was at Eon, I had somebody on the board, and that was sort of, I don't know, four or five levels above me at the time, and they were a big advocate for me. They'd actually started out as a mentor. So if you're thinking, oh, how do I find these people? Sometimes just a one or two session mentor conversation with somebody might help them to know a bit more about you, and they could potentially become a sponsor. It's one of those things that you can't really just ask people to go and be your sponsor. But once you've found that person who's knows what you're great at, who understands how it adds value, and you'll need to take control of that. You'll have to communicate that to that person. Once they've got that, though, they will then hopefully be using that knowledge to connect you to opportunities within the organisation. And when, again, kind of a Microsoft example is when people are talking about promotions in a room, you ideally want a couple of people advocating for you in that room, so that if someone's saying, oh, I think Helen should be go and be head of this team, a couple of people are saying, yeah, I've seen her have that skill, or yeah, I know she's got that strength in that area, that'd be really good. So sometimes you might even want a couple of sponsors. But in short, get a sponsor. To find them, you need to be able to articulate where you add value and how that creates value for the company and what you're good at. And you need to build that relationship with that individual so that they want to advocate for you, because by doing so, they're associating themselves with you. So they've got to really think that you're kind of worthy of that sponsorship. Any builds?
I think if it's an area that you're interested in learning more, there is actually a really good book that Harvard Business Review produced that's called Get a Sponsor, Not a Mentor. And it talks about just the power of sponsorship. And I do think it is actually distinctly different from mentors. I agree with your point that mentors can become sponsors, but I would actually caveat that with, in the particular context of getting a promotion, only if they know you well enough and have seen enough of your work to be able to very credibly talk about you in the room where those decisions about promotions are made. Because I think there's a big difference between somebody generally being supportive of a person and then specifically being supportive. And I think you're looking here for specific support. And by specific, I mean examples. So they can say, Helen would be good for that role because of this, and I've seen this in action, and this is where I know she adds lots of value. And then to Helen's point there, what you want is a few other people around the table, I think, nodding and agreeing and saying, And I think often you do want that one person who knows you quite deeply, who can kind of really, you know, say all the really positive things about you and you're not in the room with lots of credibility. And then I think you're looking for maybe slightly more, you know, superficial relationships in terms of people know enough about you to then be able to go, yeah, yeah, I kind of get that. That feels right. I have actually seen it a few times where one person has sponsored somebody in a room to be promoted, and then actually they've not had any support from anyone else, and there's clearly been a disconnect, and that's actually caused a challenge, because you then start to get questions about, well, if you're the only person who's seen that and you're looking to promote someone, surely they should have wider influence, etc. All those kind of frustrating things that sometimes do stop us from getting promoted, but it's worth understanding.
And you
them.
Reminded me,
so definitely get a
sponsor. When you were talking actually about resources, Sarah, and you referenced that article, remind me of a really good author. She's very good on this topic actually, but she's just good for kind of management stuff generally. Her name is Sylvia Ann Hewlett, and she has written a book called Forget a Mentor, Find a Sponsor.
I think that might be the one that I was talking about, actually.
That's
published by HBR. Okay. Yeah.
So she's also got a book, and I've seen her present. She presented when I was at BP, actually, a really compelling woman, and I think she may probably have some TED talks, but she's worth following. She does some stuff specifically on this point, but actually as a thought leader anyway on careers and management, she's good.
Lovely. So tip number two then. Tip number two is essentially it's okay to go for promotion without having ticked every single criteria to get that promotion. I've been thinking about this a lot in the last couple of weeks because we are advertising for various different roles at the company that I work for, Gravity Road. And, you know, sometimes you do look at a job spec and you think, is this a job spec that somebody's just written or is it essentially a wish list? And I think that was a real moment for me of kind of going, that's what you end up doing. I think that's what most people do when they write job specs. They write down everything.
Well, they almost write it for the job that they would have done after 2 years. Almost like the end state, not the person who's been brought in to learn and grow in the job.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right. And I think if you read it and you're sort of very, you know, you've got lots of humility and you're also kind of self-aware, you might look at it and go, oh, well, I only have 70% of that. So therefore, I'm not right for this job. I'm not right for what they need. Or, you know, it might stop you from getting, you know, going for it in the first place. So, I mean, clearly you don't go for roles where you kind of think, I don't have anything. But I think trying to look at a promotion and think fundamentally here, what is the value that they need somebody to add in terms of, you know, are they very specific about certain skill sets or certain behaviours? And actually, sometimes you need to get in front of people to even understand that, because sometimes until you have the conversation, you can't work out exactly where the emphasis might be. And the reason I always think this is so important is I've actually been good at this. I've been good at going for roles where I've not always had 100% of the requirements. And on the flip side, I've also not got quite a few jobs. So I've been for a couple of promotions that I didn't get. And I then usually actually have known the person who's got that job. And in one instance where you, you know, really have to be mature and kind of grow up, I then had to work for that person because we were in the same team. So, you know, two of us in the same team both went for the same job and I didn't get it. And then chose to actually work for that person. And both of those times, they were incredibly positive experiences. I genuinely wanted the job. I thought I could do it and I could have done it. The people they recruited both times were better than me. So, you know, good choices. But essentially, you know, they went for people who maybe had got a different emphasis or, you know, maybe were more experienced. But because you go through the process very positively, and if you ask for feedback afterwards, essentially, in terms of really what you've lost, it's not very much. You've got some really good quality feedback, hopefully, on why you didn't get the role, what you could do differently. So suddenly you've just built yourself your, you know, priorities and development plan for the next 6 to 12 months. You've positioned yourself in the mind of people who've interviewed you internally to sort of say, okay, well, she might not have been right this time, but, you know, we really like these things about her. And suddenly they'll be looking for other jobs for you. They're kind of often there to help and support you. People want people to be successful and to develop and to grow, you know, if you're in hopefully the right kind of culture. And then I still feel every time I didn't get a promotion, I probably still got promoted earlier than I would have done otherwise by going for it that bit sooner. And sometimes I've been for promotions a bit sooner and have got them. So, you know, sometimes it works out because, you know, right person, right time, and there's a bit of luck thrown in there occasionally. And sometimes it doesn't work out. But I have never found that to be a detrimental process. I've always found it something that's been useful for me. Not to say that in the 24 hours after not getting the job, you don't feel absolutely awful.
Yeah.
And yeah, in one particular instance, I think I was actually like devastated because I really, really did want this job. It was a real stretch, but you know, like I really did want to do it. So this makes me now sound like very zen and pragmatic. But you know, like the 24, 48 after, hours afterwards, I was like, this is outrageous. I really want to do this job. I'm so disappointed.
I've been there. I know those feelings.
And then, you know, you get over yourself and get over it and you work out everything's fine and you kind of move on.
One caveat to it, I would say, is just make sure, go for it, definitely, but be intentional about what you're going for, because which is very different to applying for jobs internally and externally. So if you're applying for every job you fancy externally, there's no real implication of that unless they're all in one company, but no one's really going to know how many jobs you're applying for. Internally they will know. And so if you're applying for 10, 15 jobs that are all a bit unrelated, bar the fact that they're a level or a grade or a pay scale, however that is done in your company, higher, you will unfortunately get an association as somebody who is just in it for the almost like the financial elements of the promotion or the structural elements rather than the actual job itself. So definitely go for it. Don't let that, I've only got 70% of the what's here, hold you back. But be very intentional and make sure that you've got a narrative about why you're going for that job, how you create value, how it's part of your kind of your career thinking, so that you just kind of caution against that, oh, that person's grade hunting or level hunting.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I have actually heard people give that feedback about people before, where it becomes hard. You know, like I say, it is hard internally to get promoted. So I just think as well, when you're starting to think about being promoted, be really clear almost what it's like your story, but just because it's a story doesn't mean it's made up. But how are you going to explain why you want to get promoted? What is it you're looking for? And talk about the skills and the behaviours that you have and the things that you are looking to gain. And then demonstrate, you know, how they apply to the different things that you're looking at in terms of the different roles, because then that just shows you're very thoughtful and you're considered. And again, this is where it's really important that people like your sponsors know that, so that if you have gone for something that's maybe a promotion, but it's a slightly kind of lateral move or a bit different, people don't just think it's just because you want to get promoted. There's actually a really good reason why. And not only do you know that, but the people who you need to support you also know that as well. So that's tip number two. Go for it, brackets, intentionally.
Tip number three, it sounds going to sound really arrogant, this one. Act like you've already got the job is tick number three. What we mean by this is that you want people to have in their minds that you are ready for this opportunity. And in order to do that, you are likely to need to be already acting like you're doing the job to some extent. Like, don't completely do the job of somebody that you're looking for. So, because that would probably be quite irritating. But have a look. Let's say I wanted to do my manager's job. I would have a look at some of the day-to-day aspects of that job. Maybe there's a weekly presentation of marketing results. I work in marketing for Microsoft, so maybe that's part of it. Or maybe there is running an all hands. Or maybe there is talking to some people in the sales team. Maybe there are these aspects of that person's job. What I might want to do is either ask directly if I can do some of those things and say, I'd love to have an opportunity to develop some of those strengths or that experience. Can I do that element for a month? Or could I take that from you so that I can build that skill set and release your time to do something else? So either have a very transparent conversation and do some of that work now. Or if you feel like you can't have that transparent conversation with that person to literally do some of the job features now, think about what those job features are, what skills they'd be developing and demonstrating. So the presenting at an all hands one, for example, can you find some other way to actively demonstrate that skill? Could you find some other way, in my example, to build relationships with the sales teams that might exhibit the fact that you've got that strength and that potential? So it's always about thinking a move ahead of you, and how would you need to be operating to be doing that role, and making sure that if someone was asking that question, is Helen capable or is Sarah capable of doing that role today, that you've got some points of reference. You might not have all of them, and that's fine, because I think that's part of the story. About to Sarah's point in the last tip, this is about what you can give and what you can gain, because if you're going for a promotion in a company, this is about you growing in the company. So it's important that there are those two aspects of, you know, that there are potentially some gaps that you can develop in that role, but you really want to be specific about this is what I can give to the role, and therefore thinking right now what those things are that are valuable, not for the role I'm in today, but for the role that I'm trying to get to, really, really useful. So if I think about jobs that I have gone for example, before, in E.ON, here's one. In E.ON, when I went into, I'd gone in to do kind of some process job, which is a bit random for me, but then I ended up in an innovation team, which was a promotion. What I could talk about was some of the skills that I'd got in other roles, and I could, even before I was in that job, I was starting to connect people within the team that I eventually moved to with people in my network, and I was sharing processes and giving them some sort of free time, if you like, free thinking. So I was already sort of acting like I was contributing to that team and where that team was going. That was extra work on my heart. You know, I did that in the evenings and I put that together, but it meant that when they were looking at people, I was already a piece of the jigsaw that seemed to fit very well.
And I think, you know, be realistic, because I think what we're not saying here is try and do two jobs, you know, because I think so many people I talk to about career advice generally are often in that, I can't see the wood from the trees, I'm already in a job where I'm super busy and I need the time and space and I'm trying to get promoted, but the day to day does get really, you know, you get kind of bogged down by it, don't you? And you want to do a brilliant job of your day job, which we'll go on to talk about. And that is so critical. And so I think these can just be small moments of kind of demonstrating this brilliance. You don't need to be doing this consistently. The best example I ever saw of this was someone was working for me and I went on holiday for a couple of weeks. And she essentially deputised for me. She sort of stepped in to kind of take over some of the projects that I was working on. And she did such a brilliant job. And it blew me away how brilliantly she'd done. And because until that point, I'd really not seen loads of detail, I came back and I just thought, OK, well, this person is clearly better than I am at my job. And so I became such a big sponsor for her then, because you were just sort of going in that short space of time, she just showed me loads of capabilities that I'd not seen before. And then, you know, and she showed lots of other people that as well, but in kind of, you know, small moments of magic type way. And then they all add up to kind of paint a picture of going, we need to progress this person. We need to get on side for this person because they've got so much potential there. So that's, you know, it can be, you know, just deputising or going to a meeting on someone's behalf and getting some really good feedback.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So that's number three, act like you've already got the job. Some of the time, that's the brackets for that bit, I guess. There's always like brackets for these things, isn't there? And number four, think creatively about what it means to be promoted. And with this one, what we're talking about is being promoted doesn't always have to be the next level up in the particular kind of narrow area that you're in. So if you're, let's say, a marketing manager at the moment, it doesn't have to then mean moving to a senior marketing manager job. In terms of title or actually just how your teams are structured, in terms of whatever organisation hierarchy you happen to have. Things like secondments and projects with squiggly careers are becoming so much more frequent. Maternity covers actually can be another really good one. Often I think these kind of roles require from you, so you have to work out if you're okay to do this, a little bit more risk, I think, on your part, because sometimes it means you're doing a mat cover, but you're not guaranteed, you're guaranteed you're a certain job back, but maybe not exactly the same job. I can never remember the exact
HR things,
rules,
yeah,
on these things. Just so I was saying that, I was like, oh my God, I've been on the same team, but I can't remember. So please don't quote us to any employment lawyers. But when you are doing secondments and projects, A, definitely ask, that's the first thing, you know, what will happen at the end of this project? You know, are you guaranteeing me just going back to a job at the same level? Are you guaranteeing me the same job? Every company, I do think, is slightly different depending on exactly what it is you're taking on. And usually you kind of don't know whether you've got 9 months, 12 months, you know, it could even be 6 months. But those are almost big versions of what we were just talking about in terms of being able to demonstrate your capabilities either in a different way or at a different level with some different people. It might give you the opportunity to work in a different part of the organisation. I kind of almost did this, but slightly through being forced to, through a restructure. So we were being restructured at Sainsbury's, and I could have chosen to stay within marketing, within the function I was in. And I sort of chose to go over into corporate affairs, which is actually ended up being quite different to marketing. Now, it wasn't really a project or a secondment, but it was sort of an opportunity to just do something different. And there was no clear route back to marketing, and I wasn't quite sure what that would look like. But I just thought, do you know what? This will give me you know, new skills that I won't get if I stay in marketing. So I was really clear about why I did it. And ultimately, that move ended up being one of the best moves I ever made. Certainly in terms of I actually ended up being promoted both within that area, but certainly when I came back into marketing, I probably got promoted quicker because I'd done that move. And I say this to people so often, think about not only your next move, but the move after that move. Because I think just thinking a couple of steps ahead can be so useful when you're really focused on getting promoted, and I've definitely done this. You can get a bit, you know, you're just like, I just need to get that promotion. I just want to get that job and that title. And sometimes that job and that title just don't materialise. And I think particularly now with so much change in organisations, you sort of never quite know what an organisation is going to look like now in 6-9 months' time because things are changing so quickly. So having your heart set on a particular, being promoted into a particular job, that job might just disappear and it's completely outside of your control. And this goes back to what is in your control and what is outside of your control. What is in your control is the ability to take a risk and potentially do a kind of upward sideways move, a secondment move. And as long as that feels like the right thing for you, feels like you're adding, and you feel like you've got a path back to where you were hoping to go to originally, or it feels like it'll be a good move ultimately anyway, then I think going for those jobs can only ever be beneficial. I've not seen many people take those leaps. I'm trying to think actually of anyone where it's not kind of worked out for them.
I think this is where this again is different about the internal moves versus external. So if you are moving externally, you can potentially be a bit narrower about the jobs that you're looking at, because they might be looking at that job description and trying to match people as far as possible to the things that are on that job description. But internally, if you're wanting to progress internally in a company, actually having a story about your development, which is that you know how sales works, or you know how the finance teams work, and that you can apply that into your job in, I don't know, manufacturing or whatever teams that you might be part of, that sort of makes you more valuable within the company, because it's so hard to get things done in companies because you'll all have the same experience. Everything's really busy and there's lots of stuff going on and prioritization's really tricky. If you are a person that understands how some of the functions of the company that you're in stitch together, because actually you've had some experience in those areas, that makes you more valuable. So don't worry that, oh, I've got my career's in marketing, but I'm going to go spend, you know, a year in sales. Is that going to kill my career? Actually, if you want to progress in your organisation, it's likely to be really, really valuable to you that you've gained that knowledge. I remember when I was at Virgin, there was a guy called Tom who was brilliant, and he'd started his career in accounting, and he's the least stereotypical accounting person anyway I've ever met.
It's like, you're not talking about my boyfriend.
No, different Tom. Different Tom. Unless Tom has done some time.
Who is my boyfriend, who is also an accountant.
But not a Virgin. No, different one. And this Tom, the Virgin Tom, I'll leave that statement there. He was in design. Actually, that's when I knew him. He was kind of working in brand and design and creativity. And it was how he applied. He knew so much about Virgin because he'd been there for quite a long time. He had a brilliant network because he'd worked in these different functions. He could join the dots up, and he was really creative. And you saw these, you were really able to see these different sides of his personality because he knew, you know, he knew these different parts of Virgin. It was so powerful, huge, huge asset. When I was working with him, huge asset that he had that knowledge. And so I think this is potentially, if you're looking to progress in an organization, how you might look at your value and how your experience relates to that value is different to, I think, if you're thinking, I want to move around quite a few different companies to get experience in something that's a bit more specific. So our last tip then, so that one was kind of think creatively about your opportunities. The last tip then is about doing your job brilliantly. So this is the, I don't know how much I need to talk about this, but this is a bit of a basic. It's kind of like a hygiene factor of, if you are looking to be promoted in your current organisation, you need to have a great record of work, because people will be looking and talking to your managers or your peers or your stakeholders and saying, tell me a bit about how Sarah's performing at the moment. And they will be looking for some evidence of that. And so I think this is, a lot of this is about your mindset. Once you decide that you want to move on, it is so easy to be distracted by the opportunities that you are interested in and to drop balls on the day job. But that's just the wrong thing to do. What you need to look at is, in my day job, what is the stuff that I'm uniquely good at? What's the stuff that where I create the most value? And that is the stuff that you need to keep focused on and keep your time on. And I'd say this, you know, whether you're moving internally or externally, actually, I think you have to be doing your day job brilliantly, because you will leave a legacy, and you want your networks that you built, and I've done this from company to company, my networks that I've built have been so important to my future opportunities. You want everybody in the team that you will hopefully be leaving to move on and upwards from, you want everyone to be saying great stuff about the work that you are doing. You do not want your legacy to be, yeah, but in the last month in the role, they just basically didn't do anything. They'd already moved on. That's all your great work would get undermined by that statement. So do your day job brilliantly. If you do need to create some time, because maybe you are going to be picking up some extra projects or spending some time with another team, work out what the two or three things are that you do uniquely well and that create the most value, and make sure that you focus your time on those.
Yeah, and I think I always reflect on this, and don't forget, people's capacity to remember what you've done is really small. And so most of the time, people only remember, I always think, one or two things that you've done, which is sometimes a bit, I get that, that's a bit soul destroying, because you're like, I've done millions of, I've loads of good work, and you're telling me you can only remember like two projects. But essentially, you know, don't forget, that person's probably got to remember the top two projects for 10 people or something. And so the other thing I try to think about is, particularly if those people are my sponsors, or I would like them to kind of sponsor me within the organisation, what's the one or two bits of work that I would expect them to know about me? And, you know, that might be different depending on how they interact with me in terms of that project. And how do I make sure that they can talk about that project really credibly? So I need to do the job brilliantly, but I also need to make sure that I've sort of told them about, you know, whether it's updates, whether it's the successes of that project, just so that they have some things at their fingertips. And again, going back to that previous point that we talked about around being specific, you want them to be able to say, you know, Sarah did this project brilliantly. And even if it's just one result, there's some sort of outcome or something where they can kind of connect it to then how you added value to the organisation or to the team, if it's more of a kind of, you know, a leadership type role, I think is really, really important. So that urgent, important matrix that I think, I'm sure we've kind of talked about before, but is that who did the... actually done by somebody, amazing.
This one made it.
I just thought it was one of those things where like everyone was just like, oh yeah, that kind of makes sense. And it's one of those things that I just think is continually helpful. Work out for yourself everything that you're doing. Write down everything you're spending time on within a week. Put it into an urgent and important matrix and work out, are you spending your time in the right places? And if you're not, I think then you're stopping yourself from getting promoted as quickly as you'd like to. And often it can be some of those periphery ones that are actually really important but not urgent that you never get around to, that you've got to work out a way to find some capacity to get those out the door or make a difference, because that actually might be something you're working on with a really important sponsor. So that's just a good practical exercise that you might want to do. So shall I summarise our top five tips? So top five tips to get a promotion. Number one, get a sponsor. Number two, you don't need 100% of a job to go for it. Number three, act like you've already got the job, brackets some of the time. Four, think creatively about what it means to be promoted. And number five, don't forget to do your job brilliantly. Which I'm sure, I always feel like our listeners, based on the feedback that we get, are all incredible anyway. Yeah. So you probably don't need that. You probably don't need that last one. Flattery will get us everywhere. A couple of resources for you that will make sure go out with the podcast. There's a really good article on the Muse. I'm sure we've referenced the Muse before, but if you've not looked at their site, lots of good like career advice that's created from loads of different places. So definitely kind of save that or bookmark that. And they've got a good article that's all from different bosses. They're kind of top 11 things that will get you promoted. So it's a good mixture of perspectives from people going, well, this is why I've promoted people in the past. So that's a good article to have a look at. And then on YouTube, I've discovered this lady called Lydia Rayner. She's kind of a career coach, but she's done, I think she was actually an accountant, maybe. It's all about accountants today. I think she was maybe accountant originally. Certainly, she sort of wasn't a career coach originally. And I'm not even sure if she does it full time now, but she has a YouTube channel with loads of stuff around getting promoted, dressed for success. You know, they're kind of a tad cheesy, I would say, but having watched a few of them, they are short and snappy and, you know, well produced and to the point. And I just think definitely kind of worth checking them out for this specifically, because she does one on getting promoted, but there's lots of other ones as well that are worth looking at.
And also we obviously mentioned Sylvia and Hewlett and the Ansoff Matrix, course, so when I share all of the links, which I will do when this goes live, our podcasts go live every Tuesday unless we have a technical issue and I'm in Canada, which hopefully will never happen again, but they're going live every Tuesday. And whilst we're getting our website built, which is quite exciting, we have a website, but we're getting a new fancy better one where you'll be able to look at all the podcast show notes on there. Whilst that's getting done, you'll be able to go anywhere we are. So we are Amazing If on Instagram, we are at Amazing_If on Twitter, or you can follow Sarah and I on LinkedIn, just Helen Tupper or Sarah Ellis. Any of those places, I post our podcast when it goes live, and I put all the links to all the articles we reference there, because we've had lots of feedback from people that say, I really want to get to your links, but I'm driving or running or whatever you're doing while you're listening to the podcast. So that's where you can find those things for this week. And for next week's episode, which is actually going to go live on the same day as this one, so that we can deliver
two for the price of one
this week. Next week's episode, we are doing workplace wellbeing, which I think is an increasingly important theme for people to look at. There's, there's lots of growing awareness now of the importance of mental health, which is brilliant. I also think Squiggly Careers, and one of the founding insights for Sarah and I when we started Amazing If, was that Squiggly Careers can feel great and positive and full of opportunity if you've got the skills to kind of navigate that squiggle. But if you haven't, you can feel a little bit lost, a bit overwhelmed, and it doesn't feel so great. And so that kind of idea of workplace wellbeing and mental health was part of one of the founding insights for us of building this business. And so next week's podcast episode is all around four elements of workplace wellbeing. And Sarah and I will talk through those. It's inspired by an article which we've both read and reread several times. And we'll be giving you our tips and our own experiences of how where we do well and not so well on workplace not so well-being. So that's it for...
I think our list of not so well is way longer at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah,
so,
it's growing at the moment.
We'll think of some more good ones as well.
So we will be back with you for that episode next week. And in the meantime, we thank you for any people that have been giving us reviews. It's really, really helpful for the reviews that you give us on iTunes on the podcast. Helps us to be seen by more people so that we can reach as many people as possible to help them with the skills to succeed in their squiggly career. So if you could spare a minute to tap 5 stars, maybe, if you're so inclined, or give us a review, we'd hugely appreciate it. And thanks for being part of the Amazing If community and doing that. So that's it for this week.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
See you next week. Bye.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.